Number 9B.
Now, when we have that, we can take that fundamental law and see that we can elaborate it through the 7 in order to have the full statement of it. What does it mean in the law that mind is the all influence? What does that all mean? That all means that it is of the nature of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, or it isn't all. Therefore, you can see that that what we have to do is to elaborate on that law, and we can do it by showing it under the aspect of the 7 synonymous terms. And if we do that and hold that in our consciousness, and are aware in our consciousness of that, then we really have in our consciousness the whole concept of influence, of divine influence, and therefore also the whole concept why animal magnetism is not an influence. Now, this one can really do. Naturally, you could say in a short way that mind is the all influence, that therefore mind is the all influence of spirit, that it's the all influence of soul, that mind is the all influence of principle, or the all influence of principle and of life, and the all influence of truth and love. That is naturally something which would be the most concise statement of that law on influence, which we can do if we have a complete tonality of the capitalized terms. But as students, we usually begin to understand those capitalized terms through the ideas characterizing those capitalized terms. That's a 6,000-year period, where we think in ideas of the capitalized term. So we can translate it to the ideas of the capitalized term, constantly under the main point of influence. So if anybody of us would like to see that we can free ourselves to be under any false influence, and only to be under the one right influence, that of God, then we can take that law and elaborate it not only through the 7 synonymous terms, but also through the ideas of those 7 synonymous terms. And that I have shown on page 142 and the following pages, and we just take that law together and read them for the sake of explaining how we can arrive at these laws, how to practice these laws, because in a law you always have the same elements that are put into a same relationship and they don't ever vary. So let's see how, for instance, and we always have to see that it is just examples, that we are here only talking about examples, namely taking mind through ideas of mind, then spirit through ideas of spirit. Now look here, we read it here first, how we can elaborate first that law of mind through the ideas of mind, and see always as the main subject influence. So let's read there where on the last paragraph, on page 142, we have mind as mind, which is an elaboration of the law we had on the preceding page. So we state here, the influence of the divine mind is, now we take the idea power, for instance, is all power. So you give to the idea influence of mind the further quality of power, that the influence of mind is the all power. So everything, everyone and everything is under the perpetual influence of the divine creative power and action. Can you see? I take influence and vary it through ideas of mind. Divine law, that's another idea of mind, as you know, alone exerts influence in human affairs, for instance. Belief under the influence of what? Of constant, now come ideas of mind again. We are constantly living under the influence of enlightenment, inspiration, and vision. You recognize them as ideas of mind. So that the old current of divine intelligence, that's another idea of mind, and divine information pervades our thoughts and stimulates our creative ability. You see, again, we are under the influence of divine intelligent information. Then you take the opposite that is included in the law, that therefore animal magnetism cannot have influence, but you take it from the point of view of mind, and therefore from a counterfeit sense. So, as we have been talking about power and about force and action intelligence, you take the negative and you see the nothingness of animal magnetism's influence. No ungodlike power, like human power, like will power. No ungodlike force, like material force, electrical forces. No ungodlike action or intelligence, ungodlike intelligence. Brain intelligence, scholarly intelligence, can touch us or influence us. You can see the counterfeit of the ideas of mind cannot influence us, neither from the stars, the weather, heredity, the body, nor from any other source. Can you see how we are under the influence of so many beliefs that are the counterfeit of mind? We think we are influenced of all kinds of sort of things. Man does not move in the magnetic field, say, of private or public opinion, individual or collective suggestions. So we are not under that influence. Can you see how you can elaborate the law, the simple law, that mind is the only influence, that anything that is not of the nature of divine mind has no influence, that therefore we are not under the influence of anything else but of the divine mind. But we state it through the great variety of ideas of mind. Now we come to the great variety of the ideas of spirit, because mind must also be spirit, or else mind is not mind. Mind does not reflect the other synonymous term, it is not mind, because they are synonymous. So let's see here again just the rhythm of it. The influence of the divine mind. So I start again with the influence of divine mind. And now we come reflecting spirit is the one pure spirit. So I now give to that influence of mind the true nature. That true nature is the nature of spirit. So I elaborate on that and say spirit, which is good, places us under the influence of divine good only. Do you get that, what that would mean if we would sit back and just contemplate and ponder what that means, that there is a constant influence that is projected on us, namely from the divine mind, which as spirit only influences us with good and only good, with nothing else. So the negative sense would be that nothing evil can influence us. That's a counterfeit. No evil thoughts. See, evil thoughts, counterfeit of mind. Evil intentions, counterfeit of mind. Deeds and ambition, counterfeits of mind. Can you see, they are very exact. They are not just rumbling of terms. They are taking really either ideas of the synonymous term or counterfeit of the synonymous terms. So you can see that only good, that spirit, the fruit of spirit, we know, comes to us as an influence and remains with us. Therefore, the influence of spirit compels in us what? Under what influence are we in spirit? Namely, under the influence that there is constantly the influence of bringing to us a new birth, that we are under the influence of spiritualization of our life and consciousness. It forces us to relinquish the material and seek the spiritual. That's the influence under which we are. that we are under the enforcement of a separation process to relinquish the material, or again the opposite, dualism and spiritualism have no more influence on us than materialism. So neither materialism, spiritualism, nor dualism has any influence on us if we go out from the one spirit. The only influence, only is always spirit, the only influence which affects us are spiritual reality and progress. Do you see how you can elaborate on the same law? It's always the same law, that there is an influence that goes through all the seven reflections. There is an influence. But that influence is mainly mind. But mind reflects also the other synonymous term. So you ask yourself, what is the influence of spirit here? Then what is the influence of soul? What is the influence of principle, of life? What is the influence of truth and the influence of love? And you see that the counterfeit of them cannot influence us. So you really handle animal magnetism from the point of view of perfection, from the synonymous term. Let's take the next example. There are always examples. Don't memorize these things. What I want to show you, what may not have been so clear when one only reads this chapter and does not study it, then one may not see really the method that is used. And I want to show the method, not the individual terms. So we say, well, mind is the all influence. Well, if mind is the all influence, then it is also the influence of soul, because mind reflects also soul. So what is the influence of mind when viewed from the point of view of soul? And we take soul and the ideas of soul and then the counterfeits of the ideas of soul. So actually you can learn quite a bit about the synonymous term by going through these laws here, because you get a terrific list of ideas of the seven synonymous term and also of the counterfeits of the seven synonymous term. Now, what can we see here? We can see the influence of divine mind is now the sinlessness of soul. So actually we are constantly standing under the influence of soul, under sinlessness. Sinlessness constantly comes to us and asks us to be sinless, constantly. It is not so that animal magnetism constantly comes to us and says, I'm going to destroy you. I make a real good, hard-boiled sinner of you. So we can elaborate on this and say, well, this influence suffuses everything and everyone with the, now comes ideas of soul, with joy, bliss, freedom, and the beauty of soul. So that's an influence that is actually going on right now. The question is, do we take it up or do we shut our mentality to it? If we open our mentality, and we do that when we go out from the synonymous terms, then we see that we are constantly under that terrific influence, morning, noon, and night, if you are awake or if you are asleep, if you are thinking about God or not thinking about God, that influence is still there. It's a fact in being that always influences us with those ideas of soul, like joy and bliss and freedom and beauty, so that the very counterfeit of it, namely depression, listlessness, and psychological complexes, have no influence. We think that we are under the influence of depression, that suddenly we feel depressed. Haven't you suddenly felt depressed out of nowhere? That's animal magnetism, the influence of the counterfeit of soul. And therefore, it is only because we don't consciously establish really the law that handles animal magnetism, namely to establish consciously, every day perhaps, consciously establish the whole influence, here the influence of soul. If we would see that, we would never be in a position of depression, of complexes. The next line after the semicolon is, they cannot identify themselves with us. You see, this depression and complexes cannot influence us and say, That is what you are. You are depressed. You have complexes. Or we go further to the next one, again, a positive sense. The influence of soul is what? You get ideas of soul, constancy, inviolability, unimpaired identity. See, it influences us so that we cannot be distorted, that we do not lose our identity, cannot touch us. This influence keeps men free from sin. So I see, I am under the influence of sinlessness that prevents me from sin. In the consciousness of soul sense, again, the influence of sense testimony, that's a counterfeit, and emotionalism cannot harm us or weaken our spiritual understanding. I can see that the influence of the negative of soul cannot touch us, cannot really harm us and touch us. We are not subject to any psychic influences. We think we are very much under the influence of a psychic mentality, of a psychic atmosphere. And everybody is depressed, we get little by little depressed. Huh? Everybody is joyous and so on. We are joyous too. We get into the atmosphere of the world, and so we have to see that we don't get into the atmosphere of a depressive world, that cannot influence us. And so one person who knows that 2 and 2 is 4 is not influenced when the whole world says, no, it is 5. He doesn't waver. He doesn't get under that because he understands it. So that spiritual understanding of soul really makes us inviolable against everything that is God-unlike. Well, let's take another example of influence. Now we take it as principle. What does it mean? The influence of divine mind is what? Now a tone of principle, the scientificalness of divine principle. We are under that constant influence. That principle always wants to influence us that we are really being scientists, that we are beginning to think scientifically. We don't believe that, but that's the fact. We say, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not scholarly enough, I'm not trained enough to be a scientific thinker. Scientific thinker is something that is foreign to me. I'm more a type that lives off emotions and nice senses and aesthetic senses. Science is foreign to me. That's not true. That's not true. Because God is all in all, and that God is principle. And therefore, the influence of that principle on every one of us is that he can think scientifically. And it's just a matter to make up one's mind. If one constantly says, well, I'm not a scientific thinker, I cannot understand, this is too academic, this is too difficult, this is too high for me. We put ourselves under the influence of animal magnetism that says you are not a scientist. And that all what we have to do is to sit down and know, and really know, that science is something very natural to everybody, to everybody. Because man is the idea of principle and therefore is a scientific idea. And it's only a question, are we consciously accepting that principle is constantly influencing and coming to me a scientific understanding, a scientific thinking, a scientific tools, and I can understand them. Just do that. I know that that is demonstrable because I have tried it out over and over. So instead of saying, well, I don't know anymore, I don't know how the idea will unfold, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, instead of that, you sit back and look into infinity and see, I'm living and moving under the influence of the infinite, intelligent, all-knowing mind. And that infinite, intelligent, all-knowing mind acts through principle. And principle says, I take that infinite intelligence and present it and explain it and expound it through a system, through science, and you nurture within you that you are the sounding board of a scientific system, and then we are transparent for that scientific system, and then science can reveal itself in us. So I put myself under the influence of that mind which explains itself through principle. Can you see that? So to be scientifically minded is not something that you either have or have not, because you are schooled or not schooled. That's not true. I find at home, I find very simple people that have practically no scholarly background that can easily understand what we talk about systems, about law, and about calculus, and about dimensionalism, easily understand. It's just a matter that one takes it as something absolutely natural, because we are constantly, day and night, under that impact and influence of that all-knowing mind that presents itself, explains itself, interprets itself through science. So here we go further and just listen to this wonderful practical attitude. In the consciousness of the one mind, our thinking has the imprint of divine mind reading, which is knowing everything from the point of view of mind, of the divine, therefore, interpretation. Some people say, well, I can't interpret the text, that's too difficult for me. I rather like to read the text and appeal to my emotion, and I get a nice lift up through it. Well, they refuse the influence of the divine principle, because the interpretation of principle is natural. And yes, under divine mind reading, we are under the influence of divine interpretation of the universe, including men. For the influence of divine principle makes us think scientifically, systematically, and structurally. See, not we have to try to think scientifically and systematically and structurally. Principle comes to us as mind influence and says, I'm the only mind, therefore you have the mind of being scientific, of being structured in thinking, of being systematic in thinking. Do you see the difference between reasoning metaphysically and from the point of view of science? You were always thinking metaphysics. In the metaphysics you said, I don't have this ability and I don't have that ability. It's a hell of a job to try to think scientifically, to study that chart and those matrices and all that kind of thing, that funny thing. I can't do it, because you were thinking metaphysically. Way back, hundreds of years back, you were thinking. Not with the consciousness of today, of science. Here you have the laws of science. And therefore you have to change your whole attitude in treatment, in treating yourself. You are the biggest patient. That patient you have every day on the phone. Huh? So, I go on. A consciousness of the divine government of principle, I will take government of principle, imparts a sense of the harmony of being in the human as well as in the divine realm, for under the influence of scientific consciousness, even the body works harmoniously. Your body is under the government of principle. Our life is under the government of principle. Our business is under the government of principle. Our future is under the government of principle. So neither medical, now we come to counterfeits of principle, so neither medical, psychological, physiological, nor psychological theories and laws can influence the harmonious government of our being. Yes. And so it goes on. I just showed you the method, and you can go on through one law after the other. You can think about it and just see how these laws are natural laws. But think of it, if you sit back and take a half hour or so and go through these laws, always in a new way, because you always take different ideas of the synonymous terms, but always staying with the law. I mean, always with the influence that comes from God, and therefore there is no other influence. And you take all the counterfeit arguments of the seven synonymous terms and see that they are no influence for our lives. And that is what I hoped when I was doing animal magnetism way, way back, many, many decades back, that I felt we have to handle animal magnetism through laws. Because Mrs. Eddy, at the end of her life, made that statement. At the end of her life, you know, that first in the journal, what was this, in 1908, I think, yes, 1908, she made that statement, Christian Scientists, be a law to yourself that mental malpractice cannot harm you, neither when asleep or when awake. She put that in 1908 in the journal. She reprinted it a few times in the journal, and finally she put it into the textbook at the end of the chapter on practice in the year 1909. And she said again there in the journal, give daily attention to that. Be a law unto yourself. How on earth can we be a law to ourselves when we don't know what the laws are? Yeah? That was the bugle call, so to say, for me, that I said, what are the laws? She says, be a law to yourself. How can you be a law to yourself when you don't know the laws? Isn't that reasonable? Okay. All right. That's it.